I want us this evening to look at the truth, the teaching of verses 3 and 4 of John chapter 9, which we've just read a moment ago. Jesus passed by. He saw a man who was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." In these words, our Lord is very clearly aware of limitations upon his own time. And so he was very focused in what he was doing. And he was using well every opportunity that came his way. And right at the very beginning, surely we have a challenge as to our behavior and our attitude. Does it follow the same pattern, run in the same mold as our Lord, seeking to use to the best advantage every opportunity that comes our way? This morning, I indicated that we were going to look at our own responsibility. And Cain, in that question in chapter 4:9 of Genesis, brought it before us very plainly and clearly when he asked the question, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And of course, he is not. Neither are any of us. Each one of us has to stand alone before God. And that is a lonely place. And it can be a lonely experience if we are not prepared and if we are not ready for it. And the only way in which we can be ready and the only way in which we can be prepared is if we are trusting in Jesus Christ for the salvation and the protection of our own souls. It comes down to that simple truth and practical application. Because it is only Jesus Christ who is able to meet the serious demands of that lonely experience. He and he alone is the only one who can prepare us to meet God. And so it is vital and it is important that we trust, that we know, that we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How important it is that we be ready. And here tonight, we have another opportunity to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is preached and proclaimed to us in the gospel. We have another opportunity to sit quiet and to listen, not what man says, but to what God says to us. And we have the opportunity to have it applied to our lives, breaking through the superficial things, barriers, obstacles that we put up, as the Holy Spirit takes God's word and applies it deep down to our soul, to these inner recesses which other people cannot reach, but are open and accessible to our God. Opportunity. Opportunities that come our way from time to time, and we have to have the same approach to them as our Lord has, as I indicated at the very beginning. He was aware of limitations. Are we? And there is a real danger. There is a real danger of letting these opportunities pass us by. And we do so perhaps in a presumptuous way, thinking that we're going to have another one of them, and another one of them, and another one of them, when no one assurance is given to any of us. We have this unique privilege tonight. He is speaking. the question we must ask ourselves, are we listening? Responsibility this morning, opportunity tonight. And that, therefore, is what I want us to think of simply and clearly and plainly tonight for the most part of our meditation. Yes, we'll take in one or two thoughts as we come to a close, but for the most, I want us to think simply of opportunity. As it is given to us here, I must work the works of Him that sent me. While it is day, that's the opportunity. The night comes when no man can work. We will not always be here. We will not always have these privileges or opportunities. We must therefore use them well. And as we think of opportunities, there are two distinct areas and directions that we can apply them. And we need to apply them in a balanced way tonight. And as we did this morning, all I want to do is take several portions of Scripture and use them to illustrate the points that we want to make out of this meditation. Opportunity. Well, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8 speaks about the Lord as the one who opens doors and no one can close them. Opens doors and gives us opportunity. And in a sense, it's following on from what we were, one thought that we had this morning, because we were thinking about, yes, we are not our brother's keeper in the sense that nobody can stand in and do what is required of us. We don't have any surrogates when it comes to the exercise of faith. No one can believe for us. We've got to do it ourselves or it's not done at all. But there is a sense in which we are our brother's keeper, because we have a responsibility to let them know and tell them. And the one thing that we had was the illustration of the watchman on the city walls, telling people, warning people of the danger to come. And that's the function that we've to perform as we are the keeper of others round about us. We need to tell others of the danger they're in if they are without the Saviour. And that's what we've got here in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. The opportunity that the Lord gives us in that area. He opens doors unexpectedly for us. Perhaps we've gone to a meeting, or we've gone to a situation, and we've gone perhaps with our own purpose, we've gone with our own understanding of what we're going to meet. We've gone prepared as best we can, but then suddenly the Lord changes everything round about, and a door of opportunity opens for us. The Lord turns things about so completely that we are given there the opportunity to speak, and to speak and testify in a way that we never expected about the Lord Jesus Christ. And even in this world today, where there is so much provision that you would hardly think that there is a lack, yet there is an opportunity. Because with all of man's provision and all of man's creating for himself day by day, yet all that he's got, it doesn't meet or satisfy the deepest needs of his life. We have still about us in society so many people who are not satisfied. I don't mean with physical material things. I mean on the spiritual dimension of their lives. And we have in that situation an opportunity to tell and to share with others the way in which the Lord has brought to us a fullness of life. The way in which the Lord has brought us to trust in Him, and in following Him to discover satisfaction that we've never known before. As we've known from the Lord's hand day after day, the wonders of His goodness and mercy to us, as we know Him as our loving Heavenly Father, so we have the responsibility even the obligation to tell others what he has done for our soul. That is our responsibility, that their blood should never lie at our doorstep. We must always protect ourselves against someone pointing the finger at me, at you, and saying, "You never told me. You never told me." The opportunity then, as the Lord opens doors for us. And as we go out into that work, we are again told very clearly how we must engage in it. The Lord sent his own disciples out, and they were to go out without any burdens. They were to go out with their hands free. They weren't going to be entangled with the things of this world that might be a distraction from them. They were to sit loosely by these things, so that the focus of everything in their life would be on one thing and on one person, telling the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. They went their own ways in different villages, different communities, and no doubt there were many times when that text of Revelation 3 was in their experience. Going into villages amongst people who had problems and difficulties, and the door of opportunity opened for them. And as far as their providence allowed them, they were free from distractions to serve the Lord. Single-minded as our Lord himself was, not distracted in any way, but pursuing a simple course that the Lord had given to them. An opportunity. Yes, we could develop it further, but we know it ourselves. When the Lord opens doors for us, we may not know what is on the other side of the door, but when we do have that opportunity, there is that simple, quick prayer that we must always offer to the Lord. As he has opened the door, so he would also open our mouths to speak of himself. So yes, that's one area of opportunity that we mustn't neglect or overlook. But I want particularly to go on tonight to think of another application and area of opportunity. The opportunity and responsibility of listening and of hearing what God is saying. And again, quite simply, we take our examples and our illustrations from Scripture. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 37, was a time of crisis for somebody who sat by the roadside. There we have blind Bartimaeus, and Jesus is passing by. It is a unique opportunity. Will he ever come by that way again? And Bartimaeus, perhaps aware of that uniqueness and of his blindness, knew that there was only one who could give him sight. Only one who could help him. Nobody else could do it. So he calls out, "Thou son of David, have mercy upon me." And he keeps on doing it. The opportunity is there, and he's not going to let it pass. They tried to stop him. They tried to put him down quietly by the side of the road again. But Bartimaeus was all the more persistent. And the cry of Bartimaeus stopped the Lord in the busyness of his life. The cry of Bartimaeus touched the compassion of the shepherd. It was now or never for Bartimaeus. What an opportunity as the Lord Jesus Christ passed by. And it is the same here tonight and in every other preaching of this gospel throughout our land. Because here and in other places, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He is passing by in the preaching. in the meditation, in the readings. He is in our midst, and He is the one we focus our thoughts and direct our attention to. What then is our reaction to be? What then is our response to be? As He is uplifted and set clearly and plainly before us. Again, we can do no better than to follow the same words and behavior of Bartimaeus. As our eyes are drawn away from the things of time, our souls sitting on the edge of the seat, waiting expectantly for the Lord to speak. And He's come, and He's speaking to us tonight. And there in the quietness of that meeting with Him, we can do no better than have the same prayer as Bartimaeus had. Thou son of David, Lord, grant me my sight. Opportunity. But then again we turn to another passage of Scripture, Isaiah the prophet, this time in chapter 30 and verse 21. When you go through hard times as they were going through in that chapter. Chapter 30 and verse 20 speaks about the bread of affliction, and the water of affliction. They're going through hard times. And in these hard times, the people had failed to take on board what God was teaching them. They had failed to heed the lesson that God had for them. Just the same way as that's a reflection of our own, as the Lord deals with us. Sometimes He speaks with us plainly and clearly, and we aren't taking it on board as we ought to. And what happened to them there in Isaiah chapter 30? Suddenly, a crisis or a crucial meeting comes up. They're going on their own way. They're turning, or the temptation is to turn to the left or to the right. And then suddenly the teacher comes. That's the way it's described in chapter 30, verse 21. And the teacher there is the Lord God Himself. He makes plain. He speaks to them. There is no mistaking who is speaking or what is being said. This is the way. Walk ye in it. At that crossroads, facing a crisis, they have an opportunity. It's a decisive moment. The Lord is speaking to them. A decisive moment. The Lord is speaking to us. What then are they, we, to do? Where will our feet now go? The opportunity is before us. The responsibility is simply put upon us. All the sunrises that we've seen, today is the most important one of all. Simply to take the words of Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Today, if ye hear that voice of God speak, today harden not your hearts. An opportunity. We have then a solemn occasion as the Lord passes by. God Himself is speaking to us through His Son. Oh yes, in the past perhaps we've tried to avoid the challenge of the gospel. We've tried to avoid the application of spiritual truths. And we've said, that's only David, or that's only Paul, or that's only Peter. And we've tried to remove the authority they have in speaking to us and with us. But here is Jesus. And He is speaking to us. And His voice is breaking through. His voice is breaking through all the clamor, all of the direct, all the diversions, and all of the involvement in our lives. Here we are sitting still in His house on His day, and we're meeting with Him, and He is speaking with us as the Holy Spirit speaketh, as the Holy Ghost speaketh. That's what it says, Hebrews 3:7. It is God who is dealing with you and with me in this opportunity we have. It's a solemn occasion. And as the Lord deals with us, we notice it's a specific time that is identified. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. There is that specific time. It is today that it has to be done, and the advantage taken of the opportunity. Now is the day of salvation. How many sermons, I wonder? How many sermons have we heard down through the journey of our life? How many sermons have we heard of the gospel and of the salvation that is in Jesus Christ? How many more do we need? And the Lord has given us many. And yet we're only a breath away from meeting God. Let us therefore seize the moment before any further distraction or involvement sets in, before the opportunity is removed. We don't know how long is left in our hands, but the opportunity is with us tonight. And the psalmist gives us wise counsel. The psalmist gives us wise counsel. He says, teach me to number my days, that I might apply my heart to wisdom. And the simple meaning of that phrase and what he's asking is that we would count well the days that we've got, that we might use them profitably, that we might use them well. What then are our plans for time, for tomorrow, for the week? What are our plans for the rest of this year? And we've got them in some shape or form in our minds, maybe not totally fleshed out, but they're there. I now want to ask the question, yes, that's the plans we've got for time. What plans do we have for eternity? We have an opportunity here as the Lord passes by. Are we using that opportunity while it is with us? Opportunities. I want, just as we move on, to sharpen the challenge, the application, with two simple brief thoughts before we close. First of all, with every opportunity that is given, there is an urgency. Notice the way it's put here with the opportunity our Lord had. I must work the works of Him that sent me. I must. There's something compelling about the work the Lord was engaged in. The Lord felt it. So must we. It comes from the important matters that He's handling and discussing. Because the Lord saw lives in their spiritual colors. The Lord saw people in their spiritual dimensions. He saw that immortal souls are involved. He saw that the issues were not so much of time but of eternity. It's not so much a relationship with each other on what human level, on the relationships in society. But our Lord saw a much more deeper and important relationship, a relationship with God. These are the kind of things that gave urgency to the way the Lord spoke. And the Lord was also aware of the sheer brevity of life. Our lives, like James tells us, our lives are like a vapor on the loch side. It's there in the morning when you get your breakfast, and by the time 11 has come along, the heat of the sun has burnt it all away. That's how brief our life is. And yet we don't take it on board to plan accordingly. There are things that are urgent that need to be attended to, and we need to do them quickly. An urgency, a compulsion the Lord felt because he was aware of these things. And we only will be urgent as we see the things the Lord saw. If we haven't got a sight of our own soul, if we haven't got a sight of our own sin, if we haven't got a sight and appreciation of the holiness of God, then we won't be disturbed. Mañana, tomorrow is time enough. That's the way so many people talk today, because they don't appreciate what is at stake or at risk. And when you and I have our eyes open, that brings with it an urgency. We dare not let things go or let things slip out of our mind or out of our heart, because things are quite simply too important. My soul and my relationship with God. And I want, just for this emphasis of urgency, to think of one passage in Scripture again. This time, Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, and verses 7 and 8. There we have the picture of the man who walks by the tree. And the people who have been nourishing and looking after the tree have been waiting for about 7 years to find any fruit coming on the tree, and they haven't got a thing. And they're saying, what's the use? Let's just cut it down. And as they're about to do that, say, wait a minute. Somebody comes by and says, just wait a minute. And that tree is given one last measure of time. It's given one last measure of care. It's given one last measure of food. There is an urgency now on that tree producing fruit. Otherwise, it's for the job. An urgency that must come upon our souls as we see the issues that are involved, as we see and hear the Lord speaking to us. To focus that opportunity, hold side by side with it the urgency of the matters considered. But not only do we have urgency with the opportunity that is given to us, there is also in this passage, chapter verse 4, a finality. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. The night is coming when we cannot work anymore. All that we've got through the day has now passed and has been removed, taken away. How long have we had these things? Perhaps we've had them for so long that we've got used to the gospel. But there is a finality that is brought home to us here. When you go to the book of Revelation, you find in these few chapters at the beginning of it, the letters to the seven churches or to the seven congregations. And if you were to go to these places today, go to Ephesus and the like, you'll find there's no Christian church there of the same scale that is spoken of in Revelation. All you'll find there are ruins, nothing living, nothing growing. There's a finality. The night comes when no one can work. And again, one simple passage of scripture to illustrate it. A well-known passage of scripture. The five wise and the five foolish virgins in Matthew chapter 25. There was at the beginning of it, we are told, a time of preparation. They all were gathered together and they were already waiting for the groom to come. But there was a delay. The groom did not arrive. And so time went on and on and on. And then he comes suddenly without any warning. And there are five of them discovered that they're short of oil. They are lacking something essential. And we take it out of that context and apply it on a spiritual level, and we find immediately that the thing that is lacking, that is essential, is the righteousness and faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we don't have it, we're bankrupt and we're in dire straits. And after the preparation, we find when the bridegroom comes, we find that there is a separation takes place. There's those on the inside and there's those on the outside of the door. There are some taken in and there are some left behind. And those that are left behind begin knocking and making the exclamation, "Open to us, open to us." But there is no answer. Or at least not an answer that they were expecting. There is the vital need of having a good and right foundation. When you go and put beside these words, the words that are spoken by our Lord on the Sermon on the Mount at the very end of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22, there are those that are going to come and say to him on the last day, "Lord, did we not do this? Lord, did we not do that? Lord, did we not do the next thing for you?" And that's followed by something even more fearsome and something more solemn. The Lord speaks in Matthew 7:23, "I never knew you." There's a finality. The last word has been spoken. We have opportunity. There is an urgency about it, but there is a finality. We hear the gospel here tonight. We've heard it on many occasions before, but the night comes. The night comes even now. Remember what Felix did. Felix was there, the man who was listening to Paul preach. Acts 24. And he heard great sermons from Paul. Personal, powerful. The finger was pointed quite clearly and plainly at Felix. The sermon was tailor-made to suit his situation. He was scared stiff. He trembled before the preaching of Paul. His knees were knocking and he was shaking in his boots. And yet, what did he do? He put things off for a convenient season. He had there the opportunity. Urgent things were said. There was a finality about it. And yet he kept on saying, "I'll hear you later. I'll hear you tomorrow." And again the next day. But there never came a point of commitment on the part of Felix. He kept on putting things off until the night came. And it was too late. It's a sad thing. It's a sad thing to hear that prayer, that cry, that exclamation, "Open to us." It's a still sadder thing to hear these words, "Depart from me, I never knew you. Our day is short. Our time is measured and precious. The clock is running. And there's less and less time left on it. Let us therefore use well every opportunity that we're given today. As the Lord is passing by in the sermons, if we hear the voice of God speaking to us and with us, don't reject, don't refuse, don't delay, don't defer. The day of grace is with us. The door of opportunity is open before us. But we don't know for how long. Therefore it is urgent. It's important. Because there's a finality about it all. Urgent and important. That we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save our souls. To set us free. Because He and He alone is the one who gives us abundant and everlasting life. An opportunity tonight, underneath the preaching of the gospel. What then are we doing with it? Let us pray. Our God, our Lord, we bless thy name. For the way in which thou dost hear the cries and the prayers that come from thy people. For the ways in which thou dost answer them above the measure of our asking. There is so much fear and foreboding with us. And yet, Lord, thou dost set our feet in a large place. Lord, thou dost give and spread before us a tremendous vista of prospect and opportunity. Lord, may we therefore trust thee more and more, walk with thee day by day, and may we know in our lives each morning and with a testimony of it every night, great is the faithfulness of our God. Come with us and grant thy blessing upon every one of us. We gather here uniquely before thyself, listening to thy word. Bless it. To our souls, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.